Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
We're jumping into our 7 o'clock hour here on the morning shift. It is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service.
Tiff, I got a question for you. I was just looking through some things on my Twitter timeline. Have you ever dated a guy with a nose ring? Nose ring, is that a thing? That would be something, because the guy, and I don't want to give away who I'm looking at on my Twitter timeline. I'll tell you in just a second, but. Dude's got so much swag. I'm like, what kind of amount of swag do I have to do to be able to wear like a nose ring stud? I don't think there is an amount for me.
I haven't, but I've dated all globally and all across everything. So dated someone with a facial like ponytail before.
Facial ponytail.
Okay. But not a nose ring.
So yeah, nose ring wouldn't be an issue.
The nose ring probably wouldn't be. Depending on.
Was he an extra on Game of Thrones?
I could tell he had a good jawline. I knew it was in there.
I can't believe it was there.
Yeah. I can't believe you dated a guy with a ponytail for his beard.
For his chin. It was on his chin.
YOLO. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is I'm looking at this nose ring and I'm like, this guy's dating list. He's a celebrity.
Okay.
And this guy's dating list is like a freaking who's who of like just supermodels.
Who is
it? He's dated Rihanna, Nicki Minaj, Kendall Jenner. And a little bit of everybody. He's got a nose ring.
Are you talking about Bad Bunny? I know he's dated Kendall Jenner.
Rita Ora.
I was guessing Bad Bunny too.
I know.
No, he's a race car driver.
He's a race car. Oh, what's his face?
Lewis Hamilton.
Tiny, yes.
Lewis Hamilton.
Yes.
Why does it see like this?
No, I just know. I was trying to remember.
So you wouldn't date Lewis Hamilton because of his height? Because
no,
I can tell you if he sits on his wallet, he's a lot taller.
Well, I don't care about the
I'm
cash
just saying, though.
No. So that doesn't really matter to me.
You can live
the later,
abroad.
Later years, I think I already joked about it on the show. I miss my blessing with the old man in the scooter.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been open to that before.
But no.
He could
but
be
no,
your old
not,
man on the
but
scooter.
But not like, not in, just, it's just tongue in cheek.
You got to put up with his
but
British
he's a,
accent.
He's an attractive guy.
Yeah, I know he's got so much swag. That's my point. Like, he's got so, like,
yeah,
first
two,
of all, he talks with an accent.
Like, yeah.
But he's like a six-time champion or something like that.
It's kind of easy to have swag when you've got, like, the most wins in Formula One history. I mean.
I don't think that's got anything to do with it.
I don't think that.
I think it has a lot to do with it.
I think it has a lot to do with accent, the fact that he's successful, and he's a good-looking dude.
Yeah, I think the fact that he's a complete badass on the track and he has no fear and he participates in literally probably one of the three dangerous sports
yes.
in ever. But well, in the world,
that
right
all
now.
Contributes to his aura. That all contributes
yes,
to his
but
aura.
He, think about it. He had to have that attitude to get to where he is. So he had that before ever winning the championship.
Yeah, I think
that's
but,
it. Only adds to it. You have to have some sort of crazy belief in yourself and
yes.
carry yourself differently to be able to drive a car
no,
at
no,
that speed.
I don't disagree with any of that. But I think the how you like once you get to a certain level, you can essentially wear or do whatever you want, like physical appearance, and people aren't going to question you because you're literally the great. He's probably if you asked 10 Formula One riders like that cover the sport, they would probably say that the two greatest drivers of all time are Michael Schumacher and Lewis Hamilton. And when you reach that level, you can do essentially whatever you want. As far as how your appearance. I mean, we're not like the NASCAR equivalent is like, nobody's going to say anything to Richard Petty for wearing that big ass hat.
I understand.
No one should. You can wear whatever you want anytime. Like, I don't think it.
I know, but you do it, it's considered like when you're that level, it's considered trendy and like you have swag and all these things. When you're like just a regular guy doing a 9-to-5 and you got that, you're looking like that, you're like, man.
Bo, to your
point. Why don't you dress professional?
You can do what you want.
To your point, I do agree with you to the fact that you once you get to a certain status and you got a certain aura about you that you can pull off other certain things and people won't necessarily bat an eyelash. But getting back to Mike's original point, you do have to have a certain look and a certain facial structure, I think, to be able to pull off a nose ring.
Here's the thing.
And make it look good.
I agree with Bo to an extent, but I will say this. If you're a good-looking dude, you can pull it off either way. You know what I mean? Like, good-looking dudes can pull off, like, this all the weird fashion trends because, you know, they have, like, a six-pack. It just is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, you can just pull it off.
But
there's been a lot of great athletes and race car drivers that didn't have the swag like that.
It is.
I don't think Jimmy Johnson has swag.
Well, no. Jimmy Johnson is probably one of the most boring.
Exactly. That's my point.
He's got all the things. But that doesn't mean that he's any different than Lewis Hamilton when he gets in a car. He's got no fear. He's got the confidence. He's got all those things, but that's just not who he is. It's like, okay, if you saw Lenny Kravitz at an LA Fitness and he wasn't Lenny freaking Kravitz and he was doing crunches in leather pants, you'd be like,
Musicians are a
this guy's
different.
A freaking weirdo.
Musicians
but because it's
different.
Lenny Kravitz, you're like, man, that guy's a badass. Look at him doing crunches in leather pants.
I would hope you wouldn't judge someone that wanted to come in wearing leather pants.
Oh, all right. You know what? Don't start with the don't. Everybody judges everybody.
Yeah.
If you don't, then you're actually probably the worst offender of it.
Well, I'm not saying I don't judge, but I think I would see it and be like, you do you.
I know good and well if the three of us were in the gym and we saw some rando in leather pants and a nose ring doing ab crunches, we would all judge that person.
Do not grandstand with me right now. Don't tell me I'm grandstanding with you. I'm being honest. I'm like, maybe it looks weird at first, but it's not. I don't care. It's do you.
But I'm still going to laugh at him. I mean, because that's a natural
and
human thing.
You think he wouldn't laugh at your camo hat or anything like that?
I mean... People wear camo hats all the time. There's very few people that do abs in leather pants.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. I guess we go to different gyms. The LA Fitness, they don't have a lot of leather pants walking around.
Anyway, the nose ring thing.
You have the guy in flip flops.
I'm not going to say, look, for me, I don't care what you do. Good looking is good looking. So I can support myself. So that's where I stand.
You can pull it off. If you're that good looking, you can just pull off the nose ring. That and like the neck tattoo. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not
a
good-looking
dude. Tattoos are cool, too.
If you're not a good-looking dude, though, like, tattoos look weird. You know what I mean? You have to at least be a little bit a little bit in shape for that.
Do you think guys think about that before they get, like, I'm asking you, like, oh, man, like, I'm not good-looking enough to get a tattoo?
No. But I think that, like, where you get a tattoo is based off of that, yes.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to go out and get, like, I'm not, you know, Zeno doing the gun show all the time, so I'm probably not going to get, like, an arm sleeve. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get the barbed wire around the bicep. You know what I mean? I'm not, there's going to be guys that are like, I don't care. And like Jelly Roll or somebody that are like, I let it hang out. I get them all over my face.
Do
but
what I want, yeah.
It would weigh on me. I don't have any tattoos, but it would weigh on me about, physically where I got it. It would have a lot to do with how proud I was to show off that spot on my body. Yes. Yeah.
Interesting. All right, let's get it back to some normal things with the Falcons and their newest member, Leonard Floyd. He had his introductory press conference, and he also joined our Andy and Randy on the Midday Show. He talked about his decision to come here.
Man, it was very fast. It was quicker than last year for me, you know what I'm saying? As soon as I knew the Falcons was ready to come and get me, I told my agent, yeah, let's go, man. Shoot, I'm a Georgia boy, and I grew up loving the Falcons. I also loving the Georgia Bulldogs, so it's only right that I seize the opportunity to put on that jersey and helmet if it's there, you know?
Ooh. That's got to make you feel good.
Woo. And I know that, you know, I know Georgia fans love the signing as well and wish he comes here via the first round. But nonetheless, he's a guy that, you know, anytime you hear of somebody excited to come here, right, as an Atlanta sports fan, period, when you hear somebody excited to come here, we talked about that with Miguel Almirón, didn't we? Like how it just seems like more times than not, it's not like people that are excited to be in Atlanta. And for whatever reason, there's reasons out there that we talk about all the time about, you know, some athletes having side pieces in town or whatever it may be. I love listening to that cut and him be like, man, had to. It's my hometown team. I'm ready to get back because, to a lot of people's point, there is a ton of athletic talent that even after their careers, maybe it never played for the Falcons, but after their careers settled down in Atlanta, I'd like for those guys to come here a little bit sooner. That's all.
Yeah, they all live in Buford. I swear, like every one of them lives in like that Gwinnett, Buford area.
I was thinking Roswell. Let them live in Roswell.
There are so many former NFL players in that Buford area because I got friends that live there and like baseball players too. There's just a lot of athletes. That area has kind of become big. I like Leonard Floyd. And I was not a big fan of him on the field early in his career. I didn't think he was the same player in Chicago that he was at Georgia. And I don't think he was the same player in Chicago that he's been in the last, what, 5 or 6 years. He's been phenomenal at getting the quarterback on the ground the last, what, six, I would say I think he went to the Rams he left Chicago during COVID.
Yeah. The Chicago thing to me, it fits what we've talked about a dozen times on here. They're like, there's just some places you go that it is tough to succeed, I think, as football players in specific positions, but nonetheless, there are certain cities. That's why, you know, the news that we'll get into in a little bit about Russell Wilson and all that stuff, I'm like, I don't love what's going on in those places as well.
Yeah, I won't touch too far on it because we are going to talk about it in just a minute here, but I was surprised and not surprised at the same time to see the Russell Wilson news. But anyway, back to Leonard Floyd. We always talk about the pass rush a lot with this team, and he discussed his goals and being a part of it.
Getting my highest amount of sacks in one season. That's my goal. It's always been my goal every season. Yeah.
It's always been his goal. 11 was the highest amount, so he wants to try to surpass that.
Yeah, he wants to get to 11 sacks this year, and I think every single one of us would sign up for it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, like, I'm here for it, dude.
It'd be the first time we have double-digit sacks since Vic Beasley went for 15 and a half in 16, which was, you know, that was done behind a record-setting offense because that offense always had a lead, and Vic was able to just pin his ears back and go. And if you go back and you reassess that season based on what his career ended up being, I think it was like three games where 9 of those sacks or 8 of those sacks came in, including one against that Rams team that he got like 3. And Denver, I think he had 3 too. It would be pretty nice. And can he spread them out? You know, I don't need 6 in one game like my boy Adrian Claiborne had.
I don't care when they come, man. I don't care if they're second chance sacks or the initial move or somebody rolling out of pocket because, and here's why I say I don't care. Blood in the water, let's go. And I'm with you. It's not going to mean as much if you get 5 sacks in one game. I'm with you on that one. But some of the people that are naysayers that look at film and they say, oh, well, you know, he didn't get to the guy in the pocket. It was more of an effort.
Yeah, I don't care about that either.
I don't, like, all right, fine. You know how much I would have loved over the last 2 years, 3 years to have effort sacks against some of the quarterbacks we've played that have hurt us on the run? Jaden Daniels, give me an effort sack on Jaden Daniels. I'm here for that.
Cough, cough.
Jaden Daniels, you know, Kyler Murray, Josh Dobbs.
The thing I want him to do is come in big, you know, come in moments when it's needed. If you're up by 25 points and you have, you know, and then after that fact you have 3 sacks, that's great for the stat sheet, but it doesn't, you know, that's I want them to be big time moments. Like, and I think we've had some at times. We just haven't had enough.
Always looking for more. Hey, when we come back here on the morning shift, TGL, that's a wrap on the first season, and the winner was the Atlanta Drive. We'll discuss what went down next when we return here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Start your new career with H&K Group Incorporated. H&K Group wants to offer you the opportunity to be part of the industry leader. 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Visit hkgroup.com and apply today. H&K Group does not discriminate. Experience more with H&K.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
To win the hole in 2 points. This hole's a three to go!
That was Matt Barry on the call of the first TGL championship to be played. And the winner, of course, being the Atlanta Drive with a, I believe it was a 4-3 victory over New York.
This is my house. This is my house. And it probably is Billy Horschel's house after that putt
clutch
yesterday.
Putt.
Was it 18-footer? I can't remember exactly how long it
was.
Yeah,
it was 18-footer.
Goes left, goes right, goes left. Just an insane putt after the hammer throw yesterday. And look, man, we talk about moments when it comes to sports. This was the signature. That was the signature moment from year one of the TGL. I mean, that was insane. It's hard to find, event moments like that when you're building up a sport, and that's what the TGL found last night.
Yeah, and Patrick Cantlay basically backed it up the next hole to seal the deal with an amazing chip. I mean, that was cool for a league to start like that and to have a deciding match come down to two shots that, and I say shots because one was a putt that Horschel and Cantlay made to seal the deal. You know, you give New York credit, Ricky Fowler, part of their team, Xander Schauffele, some really good golfers. And one of the minority stake owners, because Arthur Blank is the majority owner, but Chipper Jones is one of those minority stake owners. He's actually joining the steakhouse at 10 a.m. to not only talk about the TGL championship, but to preview the Braves as well. So 10 a.m. on the steakhouse, you know, to me, one of the two to three greatest Atlanta Braves of all time. And, one of the greatest sports ambassadors in the city for us, Chipper Jones. So that's 10 o'clock at the steakhouse.
All right. Time now to go in the huddle. NFL headlines for you, and the New York Giants have reached an agreement with Super Bowl winning quarterback Russell Wilson on a 1-year deal worth up to $21 million and $10.5 million guaranteed. That's according to Adam Schefter. So now from what, the Steelers on to the Giants, where they have Tommy DeVito. I always want to do that there. And now you've got Russell Wilson.
It's about like
mix.
My Jason Hayward from earlier. No, I. You know what's funny, and somebody asked me this yesterday. It's like, who has been worse at managing their quarterback room for the last 3 years? Has it been the Steelers or the Giants? I think it has to be the Giants, but the Steelers, it's not like they've been exactly good at it. And, you know, they have completely different quarterback rooms from year to year for the last 3 years. But the Giants, I don't know, man. Like, I just feel like Russell Wilson is stepping into a situation where it's going to be hard to be good. And I know that, you know, they trust in Brian Daboll and all the pieces around Russell, and Jameis will be there, and there's multiple options. But and by the way, dang, I'm still not sure this takes them out of the running for drafting Shedeur Sanders. I think it's been uphill climb for Russell in New York. I don't know that that's the best landing spot for anybody right now.
It's essentially they have in the main two guys, not counting Little DeVito, they have about $14.5 million in their quarterback position this year. So I don't think it does. I don't think it does at all. I think, and if anything, this kind of starts to remind me of, like, remember when Kurt Warner was at the Giants, and then they went and drafted Eli?
Yeah.
And at some point, they benched him. I think Shador, if they want Shador Sanders, if they like Shador Sanders or Jaxon Dart, or maybe even Jalen Milroe in the second round, if it gets to that point, they'll still go get them, and then you'll have an odd man out. It'll probably be DeVito. And that's just how it's going to fall. And
yeah,
that might be. I thought Pete Prisco had a great tweet last night. It was the only thing that could save these guys' jobs is going and drafting Shador Sanders and having those three in the quarterback room, because he's got good. You know, he's got I want to call him a spiritual leader in Jameis. And I'm not sure what Russell is as a leader anymore from what all the stories everywhere he goes, but you would have a good guy in Jameis with Shador. So,
well, and Jameis, too, I think it's important to kind of look at the language of his contract. I think his contract was $4 or $4.5 million for this year. And I think, and we talked about this with Kirk Cousins' bonus in terms of next year, he's got offset language, I think, with most of that contract. Like, I think that if he went, if they cut Jameis and he were to go to another team, I think they could get like up to $3 million of it back. It's like we talked about with Kirk, you know, with the $10 million bonus. So it's like I said, that, and that's the reason that I look at Shador or whoever else they covet in the draft. I don't know if it's Shador or not, but I say that, you know, that's just something to keep in the back of your mind. I know that Deion has come out and said that he hopes that New York is the landing place. So that's kind of interesting in the back of his mind. I'm not sure that Brian Daboll doesn't covet a guy who can run.
Like Josh probably. Allen.
Yeah, I think that he covets a guy that can run a little bit more. Maybe that's why Russell Wilson was the signing. So that would leave me curious what he would do with Shador as far as game planning goes. But nonetheless, I think that it's an interesting.
Take care of what you needed to take care of right now, which was you didn't have. And again, not disparaging anything that, you know, Jameis has done. It's just the numbers are out there, the interceptions, all that kind of stuff. I think you had to make a move to get somebody in house because you didn't want to put all of your chips necessarily on the draft, because what if you don't get the guy that you want? I would say at least you have Russell Wilson, who does fit more of what Brian Daboll probably wants to do with that team. All right, on to the Patriots and Stephon Diggs. They have reached an agreement on a 3-year, $69 million deal that includes $26 million guaranteed, according to Adam Schefter. So Diggs last with Houston. Of course, he suffered a season-ending ACL tear.
I'm going to have to look back at Diggs' numbers, because I was a little bit shocked to see a contract this big come out. And I was like, this is a guy who, you know, left Buffalo and tore his knee up. And now now he's making that much money. But this is also a, you know, an offense that they're trying to remake what their identity is up in New England. And so you sign guys like that.
So up until the point where he got injured, he ranked 7th in the NFL in catches with 47 and was 2nd on the Texans in receiving yards. Of course, that was to Nico Collins, who was obviously their leader, but he had 496 receiving yards. And then with C.J. Stroud, he had a passer rating of 104 and completed 73% of his passes targeting Diggs. So they were not too bad, but then the ACL injury happened. So,
well, you hope he recovers. He's getting up in age. You hope he can recover quickly and get back out there. We talked about Ronald Coon Jr. recovering from ACL and how that can hamper you. I don't know how I feel about this, because Drake May's young quarterback and Stephon Diggs has a history of wearing out his welcome because of how he acts when he doesn't get the football. But that said, it's really good to have a weapon like that for a young quarterback. I think Drake May has a chance to be really good if he can continue to mature. And, you know, Mike Vrabel is a kind of a no-nonsense coach who doesn't put up with those type of things. So it's a little bit of a different pairing. But if you're a New England fan, you're spending the money and you're helping Drake May. And there's probably still other things you can do in the draft to help him more.
Yeah, I think they also, maybe I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure they signed Matt Collins there too, which a unique wide receiver room with those couple of dudes, and depending on, you know, what they do in the draft. So it's interesting. I do hope he gets back to health. To Bo's point, though, when you talk about ACL injuries, I would say it's probably a little bit easier to play baseball, than it is to run, you know, really difficult routes with being a wide receiver. So hopefully he can get back there sooner rather than later. But that is it's a good chunk of change that I was not expecting for Stephon Diggs.
So J.J. McCarthy is on the way to what we think be the Vikings starter this season, but is that actually confirmed yet? Well, he joined Kay Adams on the Up and Adams show on FanDuel TV. Let's take a listen to their conversation.
They haven't told me, and I'm happy they didn't, because I try to earn it every single day, and I never want that to be given to me, and it's such a privilege and opportunity to give me that chance, and I'm just going to make the most of it every single day.
So, I mean, okay, they didn't take Aaron Rodgers, right? And Sam Darnold's gone. So you would assume that all their chips are in on J.J. McCarthy being the starter. But like you said, they haven't told him. But I don't know if you need to tell him, or maybe just keep getting more of that mentality that he has out of him. He wants to go out and prove that he deserves it, and he's recovered from that ACL injury.
I would assume, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I would assume that, you know, when he shows back up to offseason workouts, and maybe he's still there, maybe, you know, maybe he's doing his rehab in Minnesota, but whenever you show up, like after the time off, and you show back up for the offseason program or whatever it may be, I'm assuming they'll have a face-to-face meeting and kind of talk about where they're at with that. But, you know, there's a clip that's kind of going viral of Andrew Whitworth, and he's doing an interview on some podcast with Kevin O'Connell, and he's like, man, I was watching film. He said, I almost felt bad about this. He said, I was watching film on McCarthy, and I was texting Kevin O'Connell saying, hey, man, can't wait to see you this year and catch up with you. Watching film on this young quarterback, he's a stud. And he said, I sent the text, and I look up at the TV, and on the bottom line, it's saying J.J. McCarthy feared ACL tear. And he's like,
That's the podcast he does with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Fitzpatrick goes, yeah, I had a moment like that. I text Alex Smith after he broke his leg and was like, hey, man, no big deal. I broke my leg. You'll be back in no time. And he's like, and then I realized that he,
not good.
Yeah, no, it was a really bad situation for Alex Smith. You know, O'Connell was laughing at the whole thing because he knew that it wasn't, you know, what had nothing to do with it. I don't understand really the hoopla of it. He's a guy who is a young quarterback. Essentially, it's going to be his rookie year, and he's coming off an injury. I mean, go out there and kind of, you know, show your worth in camp. And they could still sign. Just because Aaron Rodgers isn't there now, and Aaron Rodgers has not signed anywhere, so that could still – I mean, that there's still time for all of that to sour in Pittsburgh, and they maybe get desperate with what they see and go get a guy like Aaron Rodgers. That's not a done deal yet.
I think it's important to just know. And the reason why is because how many times we hear about starting quarterbacks, you know, hey, let's watch film. Let's get together and do this passing camp. Or, hey, can you meet me at the fields? And if he's doing that and getting groups together and watching film, and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, we signed Aaron Rodgers today. Like, I think that's just a
But maybe he's not, and that's why they haven't announced him. See, we don't know. We don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes with the team, and I'm sure they hopefully, you know, Kevin O'Connell, who I think is an extremely good coach, has a little bit better grasp of it than, you know, us down here in Atlanta.
When we come back here on the morning shift, a tough break for the Hawks, and we've got them mic'd up.
We got Which One Wednesday, and we got a very special edition of Which One Wednesday. Today's matchup be Tiffany against Dylan and Bo. It's time for him to get his vengeance. He will be the judge today. And I'll leave you guys with this. Which would Bo be better at, NASCAR driver or TGL pro? Stick with us here on the morning shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back here on the morning shift, and we will have a mic'd up in just a minute. Which One Wednesday battle for the ages is a
showdown, we like to call it. Showdown.
Yeah. Dylan, you're about to get smoked. actually, maybe not. Maybe not today. Not too sure about the judge today. So let's go to the Hawks.
Regardless, all good.
So the Hawks fall to the Rockets 21-114 with Jalen Green scoring 32 points and 11 boards to help the Rockets power past Atlanta.
Yeah, interesting game to watch last night, obviously, with the Hawks just falling flat. Couldn't shoot through the first three quarters and then try to make a run of it, try to make it fun. Throughout the end of the fourth quarter, and went on a pretty good run. Actually, started hitting some shots from downtown. They were 29. They won the fourth quarter, I believe, 29-8 at a certain point. And look, it just you couldn't hit your shots when you're going against Houston's kind of zone defense there in the second half. They did a nice job penetrating, kind of moving the ball around. But guys, we've talked about it a number of times, and George Niang has helped with this. But how many times have we talked about how the Hawks are getting good looks, the shots just aren't falling? And Quinn at the end of the game put Garrison Matthews in for 6 or 7 minutes, and you know I think that he hoped that Garrison Matthews could spark, the end of the shooting woes. But you got to make your shots, especially against a team like Houston. And this was going to be one of those games that in that final stretch we've talked about final 11 yeah. games where you need to go 7-4. This was the one that they were going to struggle with, and they did. And it looked like it was going to be a block. Credit to the Hawks for a stretch to be able to try to pull back even. But in the end, it was just a little bit too late.
So they've got Miami coming up, then Portland, then Dallas, just to name a couple of their games. Do you think they can avoid being a play-in team?
No.
No.
They're already a play-in team. They're six games behind, 5.5 behind the Pistons. They need to avoid not being the eighth seed. How about that? Because they're only a half a game ahead of the Magic. Now, they have two of them, but the Magic have won three straight, have been playing good. And the Hawks have been playing good. They had won three straight at this point as well. I thought the disparity in free throws destroyed the Hawks. I mean, they shot half as many free throws as the Rockets. And then that with the how bad they were atrocious from three-point land. Not to mention Trae Young didn't score to midway through the second quarter, which I'm not blaming anything on Trae, but that's not a recipe for success for this team when your best player doesn't score for a quarter and a half. Coupled with five turnovers, disparity in free throws, and a brutal three-point percentage, those are all a huge recipe for disaster for this team.
Again, too, I'm going to continue to ask this question, and I guess maybe it's a rookie thing, or I don't know what it is. I don't understand the discrepancy in minutes for Zachary Risashe when I really do feel like, at least at this point, he's one of their best three players. And I'll throw Dyson in there, his prowess on defense, another four steals last night. But Trae Young, it's 39 minutes last night. Dyson Daniels, 36. Onyeka, 38. Zachary Risashe, 24. Like, there was just extended amounts of time that they're pulling Zachary Risashe off the floor. And again, when you can spread the floor and when you can shoot as well as he shot, I believe in the calendar year 2025, he's over 40%. I don't understand why they keep pulling him off the floor. And maybe there's just something basketball-wise that they're, you know, hey, you don't understand this. Maybe there is, but I know we're better when Zachary Risashe is on the floor. And for him to have 24 minutes last night left me scratching my head.
Well, I think you got to remember, too, he's probably played more minutes than he's ever played in his career. I don't know how many games they play over, you know, in France or whatever, or whatever it is.
Australia.
It's different, right? So maybe they're just trying to keep this guy a little bit fresh for the if there is a, you know, more than two games in the play-in. So that could play into it. You're going down the stretch here. It could have been a matchup thing. Quinn Snyder knows a lot more basketball than I do, so I'm going to trust him a little bit with this, and try not to second guess too much. But I think maybe the age has something to do with it. Trying to ease him in, don't want to overload him.
I agree with you, and we'll get to which one. I agree with you, but if there was ever a time to me to expand those minutes, it would be in this stretch run of the last, you know, 11 games.
And I'll tell you, the two games with the Magic are more important than this one.
Yeah, probably so. And against the Heat as well. But I'm like, dude, the time's now. Like, what are we messing around with? Yeah, it's Which One Wednesday. You guys know what time it is. We got a fun face-off today. It's going to be Tiffany against Dylon. And a man that probably is going to exact revenge, but I don't know in which direction, is that man Squidbilly over there. He is tired of being judged, and he decides that, you know what? Today's the day that he's going to kick it back up. Today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations, especially for March Madness that'll continue this weekend. All right, so I got a number of fun topics that we're going to get to. The one about Bo, NASCAR driver, TGL Pro in just a second. Let's just go ahead and let's just get it off our chest, though. Let's just expand on what we already know is coming. Who has more swag, Beyonce or Drake? Who has more swag, Beyonce or Drake? Tiff, we'll start with you.
Is that even a question right now?
It is. I just asked it out loud.
It is a question. Obviously, the answer would be Beyonce. Drake is going through, would you categorize it as struggles now?
He just had the number one album with him and Party Next Door album.
Excuse me, please wait your turn,
sir. Halftime performance. You have grandmas singing Not Like Us. You've got people doing it at their weddings.
Wow.
It has transcended cultures, age ranges, all of it. So that being said, and Beyonce's got a tour coming up. Everyone's going to be buying cowboy hats and boots. She definitely has more swag at the moment.
Dylon,
and overall, always.
Your response.
Since we want to go there with, you know, Drake, quote unquote, struggling, let me tell you this. Drake currently has a song number one on the billboards right now in Nokia. And sure, Kendrick Lamar had his little run with Not Like Us, but guess what? all the baddies out there, all the attractive ladies, all the baddies out there are jamming out to him and Party Next Door album, Sexy Songs for You. All he's getting all the play times in the club. And you know what? He's going to end up, you know, winning his lawsuit against UMG, too. So Drake is far from struggling. He's still at the top.
I need to say something to get under your skin.
Oh, man.
I understand. And you did. You succeeded. But Drake definitely, he's got more swag right now.
We're off and running. All right. Better meal for dinner, meatloaf or pork chops? Better meal for dinner, meatloaf or pork chops? Dylan, we'll start with you.
Are the pork chops... like fried pork chops?
However you want, big dog.
Yeah, fill in the blanks.
Pork chops, it's not even a debate here. Pork chops are way better. I mean, if you do pork chops right, you fry them up a little bit, and you have them with a nice side. I mean, pork chops, to me, when they are done right and at their prime, they just blow meatloaf out of the water. Meatloaf, to me, is just, it has good flavor, but it's bland compared to like a good, nicely seasoned pork chop. So I'm going pork chops all the way.
I'm probably going to lose it on this one, and I'm fine. I'll stand by this. Clearly, you don't like a hearty meal, and meatloaf is for people who are hungry and like to be satisfied. And you also have my favorite condiment mixed in there of ketchup.
There you go.
Ketchup reigns supreme above all. But what better filling meal can you have than meatloaf and a side of mashed potatoes? It's like, it makes you feel warm and cozy inside, and it's kind of like, You're at home.
It's not like you're just eating one pork chop.
All right.
Let's
build on that one. Let's build on that one because I know that Dylon, he's been known to cook some chili here and there and things like that. Which one of you guys knows your way around the seasonings better? Which one of you guys knows your way around the seasonings better? Tiff, we'll start with you.
Look, I know I've been judged and I've posted food pictures and taken some heat online. And that's okay. Like I said, I am eating to live. I don't live to eat. So that being said, I will go ahead and say, Dylan, I'm usually cooking in a hurry. I'm usually just doing salt, pepper, sometimes some taco seasoning if I want to get crazy. But if I'm trying to, it's very rare that I am sitting down making some sort of really thoughtful,
meal that I have to plan.
No, I'm trying to eat because, I'm late. I got to get out the door. So, Dylan, you can have this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy. I mean, I've not been questioned on this show about whether or not I use enough seasoning. But my counterpart has. She's been questioned. It's salt. It's salt, pepper, and maybe some taco seasoning. Does she know what smoked paprika is?
Yeah, I actually had paprika.
Does she know what Lowry salt is?
Yeah.
Does she know what Lowry salt is? Does she know what minced garlic is?
How about Tony Schreiber?
Did I already say Tony Schreiber? You're choosing just to dig in and try to pile on. But that's fine.
I had a double
dare. All right, look. Let's go ahead and go to the Bo question. I teased it earlier. Which one is Bo more likely to succeed at, being a NASCAR driver or a TGL pro?
Well,
a NASCAR driver or a TGL pro?
I'll take this one.
All right, go
ahead. Certainly not a TGL pro because Bo gets very angry and you can't be angry playing golf. It messes up your game. It's a total mental game.
That's a good point.
So racing, he has road rage. That's been well documented on this show.
Fair.
So I would say racing is where Bo would
have road rage.
We did have a race last night. And he didn't bring it up today. So we did have a race last night.
I'm taking it. He did not win.
No. No.
It's unfortunate.
I didn't win either, but no, he didn't.
I'm going to actually use Tiffany's point for Bo being a better NASCAR driver against Bo. His road rage is what's going to not help him. He's going to get too mad, and he might actually just end up losing the race just to make sure he wrecks somebody else. I think I can see Bo as that person. He intentionally wrecks somebody out of spite just because he's so angry. He's like, I don't care. I'm not winning this race. They're not winning it either.
Speaking of which, how about this one? Of the two of you guys, Tiffany and Dylon, which one of you is rougher on your vehicle? Which one of you is rougher on your vehicle? Well, it's been well documented for both of you guys on the show. Which one is tougher on a car? Dylan, we'll start with you.
The reason my car looks the way it looks now is not my fault. A dude was going backwards on a one-way.
That was six months ago.
And I teamed. Okay, you know.
It was 6 months ago.
Hey, I'm out here balling a budget, you know what I'm saying? But anywho,
You also didn't call the police officers.
You didn't call the police officers.
That's why you're balling on a budget.
That is not due to me being a rough driver. Those are maybe some missteps.
Dylan has taken more trips in the last 6 months than I have, and I travel with an NFL team, so I don't want to hear this balling on a budget.
Anywho, the point being, that is not the reason why me being a rough driver is not the reason my car looks the way it does. However,
You have to use a lot of words to get your point across.
However, okay, well, let me finish with this. Tiffany has or has not been seen with bald tires and her oil light coming on. I rest
my case. You are roasting me,
Tiffany.
Today.
This man's bumper is dragging the ground. Are you going to allow this to happen?
No, it's not. It's a bumper.
I'm not, because what I will say is I've turned a new leaf. I've turned a new page. I have a new car, and so I have changed. And I hope you all can believe that. I'm already going to get a car wash, scheduling that for this weekend. Detail. So I've turned a new corner in my life in terms of how I will treat my vehicle.
All right.
It's in the past.
Let's finish on just a real quick one. Do you guys know who Red Panda is? The halftime show where the lady kicks the
balls. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Better halftime show, Red Panda or The Baby Race? Which is a better halftime show, Red Panda or The Baby Race, where the babies race from baseline to baseline? What do you think?
You can't go wrong with babies. Everybody loves babies.
Yeah, the baby
and
race.
Their unpredictable nature of are they going to make it across the finish line or not? The one time I saw the parent, they I think held the sippy cup behind the line. It was a strategic move, and that baby hit the gas pedal and never looked back.
I am a fan of the baby race. However, baby races can be uneventful because there is no guaranteeing any of the babies will go.
You hate kids, Dylan.
That's not the point. That's not it. And you also, it could be a blowout where just one baby goes and the rest of them just stay behind. That has happened before. However, with the Red Panda, you always know, and there's always guaranteed suspense on whether or not she's going to be successful at getting all the bowls.
Why is everything
on top?
All right.
All right. Bo, you're up, man. What do you think? Who brought it home today?
Well, I thought that both of them at times did a very poor job of explaining themselves, especially Dylan with his trash car. Tiffany trying to say she turned a leaf because she got a new car. That's not really turning a leaf. But I appreciated the I was frustrated when Tiff conceded a point, which I do not agree with at all. But Dylan only got me because even though Tiffany conceded, he chose violence. And I also choose violence. And I appreciate when the opponent is on the ground and struggling to gasp for air, and you still choke the life out of it. And so, therefore, I gave Dylan it only because he chose violence.
I accept that. It was the bald tires. That was.
Have you not?
Sorry,
been
Tiff.
Spotted
I had to do
bald tires and your oil light on. Thanks for playing. That's Which One Wednesday.
All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, we've got the wake-up call. Hey, what do you make of Leonard Floyd's goal to surpass a career high for him when it comes to the sacks category? I think he's going for 11, is what he says. So you can give us your thoughts on that next here or on Which One Wednesday and How I Got Cooked. 404-726-0929. Wake-up calls next here on the morning shift from Sports Radio 929 The Game.